Turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Here is a sinner saved by the grace of God, a prophet called of God to preach, who finds the Lord now to be his joy. And he greatly, not lightly, but greatly rejoices in the Lord. Here is a wonder of grace, a work of the Holy Spirit of God, that a fallen son of Adam would once again say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Do you realize what it took and what it takes to bring us to this point? It took Calvary. It took Christ and Him crucified. It took Christ bearing our sins and putting them away. It took Christ suffering at the hands of justice, buried, risen, seated at the Father's right hand. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration to bring a sinful man, a sinful woman, to this place of greatly rejoicing in the Lord. Finding in Him your real joy. Finding in Him your contentment, your real happiness. That's a work of God's grace. One who at one time rejoiced in iniquity and sin, now finds his pleasure and his joy and his rejoicing in the Lord God of heaven and earth. That's a work of God. That, my friend, is a work of God. Believers are truly a work of grace. That's what a believer is. It's a work of God's grace. Only God can do such a thing. Only God can take a rebel, an enemy, an out-and-out enemy, and make that enemy turn and rejoice in the Lord. Only God can do that. Only He can do that. Now I want to give you some things that every believer rejoices in the Lord over. I just want to give you some. We definitely rejoice in His sovereign grace and love that was set upon us before the world began. We rejoice in the Lord for that. We rejoice in the Lord for His incarnate Son, that God sent His Son. He said over in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And we know that Scripture applies to Christ, because in the temple He read from it, closed the book, sat down and said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. So we know it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, He has sent me from glory. From that realm of glory, where there's nothing but perfection, nothing but glory, nothing but righteousness and holiness and peace and joy, He sent me. He became incarnate. The Son of God became incarnate and came into this world to preach the gospel to us poor sinners. We rejoice in the fact that God provided His Son to be our Savior. None better. That's all I could write after that. None better. We have God in human flesh. incarnate as our Savior, as our Redeemer. Not just any ordinary man, but the God-man. God in human flesh. And then we rejoice in the Lord for the good tidings that He brought from glory. Do you realize what He could have brought? You realize the judgments He could have brought? You realize the judgment He could have pronounced? The disciples said, they got angry at some people one time, some men. They said, you want us to call fire down out of heaven and burn these guys up? I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save them. He came to save. He brought a glorious message to sinners like you and me. Worms. Worms. Now that's offensive to a lot of people. But to worms it's not. To worms it's not. Like He called that woman a dog, she said, you're right. You got that right. Truth, Lord. So she said, truth. Oh, what a glorious message He brought to us. What a glorious message He's preached to us. And what a glorious message He's given to us to preach to others. Wow, what a message He brought from glory. He was sent into this sinful world. Can you even begin to grasp for a little bit the world He came from? The glory that He had with the Father before the world was, that He speaks of in John 17? And He came into this cesspool of sin and iniquity? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? But that's what happened. He took upon Him bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, and came into this cesspool of sin and preached a glorious message. A message of hope for sinners. And that's who it's for. It's for sinners. It's not for good people. There's not any. There's not any. He said there's not any. None good, no, not one. He came and He preached His glad tidings. He said, to the meek, to the poor. To the poor. He said to the disciples of John the Baptist, you go tell him the poor have the gospel, the good news preached to them. And then we rejoice in the Lord for binding up the brokenhearted. Look back over in that first verse. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The heart that is broken over sin by the work of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of sin, it breaks the heart. He came to bind it up. Well, I tell you this, what He breaks, you bind up. If He breaks your heart, if the Lord breaks your heart over sin, He'll bind it up. He will apply the balm of Gilead. He'll bind it up. Just like you break an arm, you bind it up for the men. He binds up the brokenhearted. That's what He was sent to do. He wasn't sent to crush the heart, but to bind it up. To heal it. And then we rejoice in the Lord greatly. We're proclaiming liberty to the captive. Now you have to be a captive to appreciate this. You have to know what it is to be, and I'm not talking about literally in a jail, but I'm talking about in soul captivity. You have to know what it is to be a captivity to your sins. Captivity under the influence of Satan, under the influence of this world, in captivity to it. And when God makes a man to understand his captivity to the law, and then He sets us free through His blood, through His righteousness, through His person, we are set free. Whom the Son sets free, He's free indeed. He proclaimed liberty to the captive. The gospel is nothing but good news to sinners. He hath set the captive free. The law has no claims on us. The law cannot condemn us. It's satisfied. Sin has no power over us. Sin shall not reign over you. It shall not have dominion over you. Men, Satan shall not have dominion over you. You're the Lord's free man. He sets you free. And then we rejoice in the Lord greatly for opening the prison house. Opening that prison house. Remember when Peter, was it Peter? Or was it, I think it was Peter, was in the Philippian jailer? Yeah. He was in jail, chains about his hands, and he was in shackles about his feet. He was chained up. And there was an earthquake, and they just fell off. Fell off. And he walked right out of that place. He walked right out. Oh, he's the opening of the prison house to them that are bound. You have to know what it is to be in prison. You have to know what it is to be bound. You have to know what it is to have your freedom taken completely away from you. And when the Lord makes us to know that, we greatly rejoice in Him for opening that prison house and setting us free. Setting us free. Loose Him and let Him go. For I have found a ransom. I have found the ransom. Where did you find it? In Himself. God found the ransom in Himself. Abraham said to his son, God will provide Himself a lamb. God will do that. And then I will greatly rejoice in the Lord who has triumphed over all my enemies. Our enemies are more than we can number. We don't even have a clue how many enemies we truly have in this life. If you're a child of God, He said the world hates you. He said it hated me, it'll hate you. All the host of the fallen angels, Satan, and all that is your enemy. There's nothing more than Satan would love than to bring you down and destroy you. But Christ, our Lord, by His death, by His life, by His power, by His blood, by His righteousness, has conquered our enemies. He's conquered them. Listen to this. In Ephesians 1, Christ is risen and seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers, none equal. He does not have an equal. It's not Satan's on this side and God's on this side and they're trying to get you to make a decision before you die. No. He has no equal. He's the monarch. He's the potentate. He's the ruler. Far above all principalities and power, there is a man in glory right now who has the power over everything that moves, everything that exists, every angel, every man, every animal. Did you notice as we kept reading through that psalm, he would speak about the blessings upon his people, and then he switched to nature. He switched to creation. Then he'd come back to the blessings of Israel. Then he'd go back to the God of creation. He has power over all. He doesn't have power in one area and not in another. The Son of God sits enthroned with all power and all authority in His hands. A gnat cannot move against you without His authority. Your wasp cannot sting you without His authority. Did you notice over there when I was reading that? He said he gives His breath and the hoar frost is everywhere. Frost is everywhere. Now the weatherman on TV, Channel 3 or 13 or whatever, the weatherman's going to apply that to Mother Nature. Or to the, you know, that's God. We see the act and hand of God every day. Now most of the human race just ignores it and thinks it just happens. No. But the child of God sees the handiwork of their Father every day. The flood He sent through here, was it yesterday? That was His. By his knowledge, as we read this morning, by his knowledge he broke up the depth. He's made a way for the water course, it says. There's not an engineer born or ever shall be born could take the creation, a round ball, and make the water flow where it should. The ocean's on top. Hey, we'll make a water flow up to the ocean up here. What about the ones down here? You know, we would look at it and we'd get a pump. But God Almighty, by His power, by the power of His Word, makes it flow in all directions. He hath made a way for the water course. Oh, what wisdom. What power. He said He's given power above all principalities of power and might and dominion. He just names it all. There's none above Him. There's none that excels His power. None equal to Him. Not even close. He says to a demon, come out of him. He comes out. All things are put under His feet. Oh, and that, think, you know, the kings, the old kings, they used to, when they would conquer somebody, they would take their foot and they'd put it on the neck of their enemy, of the other king. It says here that all things have been put under His feet. He's crushed them. Crushed by Him. He has overcome death. The believer has nothing to fear. He's taken the sting out of death. He's overcome hell. We have nothing. We don't have to fear that place. He's overcome the grave. We have nothing to fear in Christ. All power is in His hands. And all things are put under His feet. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be watching for you. He didn't say that, did he? I said that. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. That's right. When they went through Jordan, it did not overflow them, did it? When they went through on dry ground after they got across and it came back together. When you walk through the fire, and you will, fiery trials. He said, fiery trials will come up on you. Thou shalt not be burned. You'll not be marred, scarred by these fiery trials or that will come upon you. You'll not be burned. You'll not be marred from it. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thy Savior. And then I will greatly rejoice in the Lord who commanded the light of the gospel to shine into my heart, to give the light of the glory of God in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ. How is it you really understand the gospel? How is it you could sit here and understand how God can be a just God and a Savior? God revealed that to you. God commanded the light. He commanded spiritual light, spiritual understanding, into your heart. And when you looked into the face of Christ, you understood the gospel. You understood how God could be a just God and save a wretch like you and a wretch like me. And then I will greatly rejoice in the Lord who always causes me to triumph in Christ. In Christ. Now listen. In Christ, we never fail. We never fail. Knock me down. I'll get back up. One of the writers in the scripture said, rejoice not over me, O mine enemies. And this can be applied to Christ at the cross. For though I fall, yet shall I rise again. yet shall I rise again.
Don't rejoice over me.
They rejoiced over him at the cross. They thought they finally got him. They thought they finally did him in. And he says here, don't rejoice over me, O my enemies. Though I fall, yet shall I rise again. And then I will greatly rejoice in the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me. As I said at the beginning of this, do you realize what it took to bring you to this place? To rejoice, to praise God, to thank Him, to have an understanding of the gospel. You know what? You realize what it took. It took the death of the Son of God. And I'll greatly rejoice in Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. He died that we might live. The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, literally, actually died. That we will not die. We won't die. The believer will not die. Our bodies, yes. But the very day that we shut our eyes in this world, we open them in that one. All we're doing is changing houses. We're getting rid of this one for one that's glorified. One that's not going to crumble. One that's not going to grow old. One that's not going to hurt and ache and wrinkle up. A new body. A new body. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord who chose me before having done any good or evil. All of grace, isn't it? All of grace. And then he says, my soul shall be joyful in my God. My whole being is affected by this work of grace. My whole being is affected by it. I don't just give Him lip service. That's not what we are doing tonight. We're not just giving Him lip service. We are giving Him being service. For our whole being is involved in this. When He says, my soul will rejoice, my soul shall be joyful in my God, my whole being is involved in this. And you notice He says, my God. Not just a God, as among many. My God. There's only one. Only one. And to think He's our God. To think He is our God. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. The God of heaven and earth. One I read about in Psalm 147. The God of creation. The God of all that you see. Is my God. Is my God. The God of salvation. The God of redemption. Is my God. The God of providence. The one who rules every day's events. Is my God. Not a God. He's my God. The God of election is my God. The God that plants His foot upon the sea and rides upon the storm is my God. He's my God. The God who speaks with power and authority. The God who commanded light and there was light. The God who commanded creation and there was creation. The God who commands light and life is my God. The God of all grace and the God of all comfort is my God. And I'll greatly rejoice in Him. And it's my God who hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's the one who has clothed me. I didn't buy one thread. I didn't produce or come up with one thread of this garment. He provided the whole thing. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of His righteousness. And then I tell you this, That's how we are. Righteous. Righteous in Him. He found me polluted in my blood. Lying on the ground, helpless. Let me show you that over in, I think I marked that today. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. This is a picture of how God found us. He says in verse 1, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, her sinfulness, wretchedness. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. You neglected. Neglected. None I pitied thee to do any of these things to thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, oh, here's what he saw. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, that's what he saw. But now listen. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Live. He commanded life forevermore. Now, in verse 8, now when I pass by thee and look upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Oh my. That's what the Lord did for us. That's what the Lord did for us. Oh, he says here, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. From head to toe, I didn't provide any of it. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, His righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, that's the way the Lord has adorned us. Oh, I tell you, we have one to greatly rejoice in. Over what the Lord has done for us. And as for this sinner, and the sinners in this room, I believe I can speak on behalf of all of us. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God. In my God. All right. I know that wasn't very long, but you know, the other day, Frank read it. I never noticed it before until it was going through Corinthians. Paul said, I would rather speak five words. I'll tell you what, that stuck with me. I thought, forget about making these long notes. Five words. If God will give me five words to say, if they'll come from the throne of God, that's enough. That's enough. Okay, Mike.